Individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Welcome, listeners. Am I on? Yeah, I just don't have it very good sound. There we go. All right. Welcome, listeners. It's currently, 2 degrees below zero right now here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. And it was, really clear last night. I don't know if the aurora was out. I forgot to set the camera up in slow-mo mode or time-lapse to see what was going to happen. But anyways, we're here at the KFAR studios here in Fairbanks. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in at 458-TALK, 458-8255. You can also live stream us as well if you're out of state or in a remote location with your Starlink at kfarradio.com. Click on that big orange ball that says Listen Live. We have the pleasure of Teresa running the board for us today because Matt is out with the, kid with crud.
Yeah.
Not him, but nonetheless, we miss Matt already.
We do miss Matt.
I had a sticker for him.
You did?
Yeah.
We brought a sticker back for him from Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate our guest that was covering for us, the Montana kid, the Hammer.
The Hammer.
The Hammer was in here and his Matt friend Don. And then his wife came on the show too, talking about the cowboy action shooters and stuff. So that was super freaking cool. Covering down for us. So we really appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
And Teresa's signaling to me that we already have a caller. So that's pretty early. So let me just start the show before we pick up on the caller. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. All right, just go ahead. Tell us what we got there, caller.
Hi. You mentioned the Northern Lights last night. Yeah, they were out there pretty good for a little bit.
I told you.
I saw the most bizarre thing I've ever seen on the highway in a long time. I'm driving home on the Steese Highway, just past the pipeline. It's dark. There's no cars, no lights or anything. And I'm going around the corner a little bit. And all of a sudden, I see like 3 or 4 big cars parked. And as I'm getting closer, there's like 12, 14 people standing out there. And I'm getting closer and closer. I'm going, oh, my God. Huge group of Asian people that pulled over on the Steese Highway and got out to watch the Northern Lights. But there are 4 cars. They had vans. They had 4 vans. They didn't pull into the emergency lane. They just left in the trucks on the northbound Hall Road direction, and they're standing on the road also.
Yeah, and that's how we have accidents.
And that sounds like we're in Costa Rica.
If they see a monkey in a tree, the whole line stops.
And no hazard lights.
Nothing. Everybody just foot bails out of their vehicle, chasing around a spider monkey with their cameras and stuff like that. And, it's chaos.
You have to pay attention when you're driving down there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then as I kept driving, all of a sudden 2 gold trucks empty and about 2 other semis are coming by. And I was like, I hope those trucks scare the crap out of those people and they get out of there.
Lay on that air horn as they go by.
I rolled down the window. I said, hey, you guys got to get out of here. This is dangerous. What are you doing? And they're all like, I was like, they didn't understand me. I couldn't understand them. They had no idea what was going on. Anyway.
Well, thank you for making Cindy feel good about saying the Northern Lights were out last night. But
yes, they were.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And good morning, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Miss Boise Bell's with us.
We're not happy to be back in this cold weather, but that's all right.
Yeah. Well, crap happens.
It does.
And we do have a guest with us today, Mr. Will.
Yes.
We'll talk a little bit more about him in a minute, though. But Mr. Will operates over at the Krav Maga, over at Sundog Fitness, over at the corner of Lathrop and Van Horn. And we'll introduce him here in a minute, but we got some announcements to make real quick. All right, the Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program will be at TVSA tonight from 5:30 to 7. That's over at 1230 TVSA Way here in Fairbanks. The topic tonight will be the introduction to predator hunting in Alaska.
Mm.
Not the predator that came out of a spacecraft, I think. I'm thinking this is more along the lines of I don't think Bigfoot's a predator. I think he runs away from people. All the videos I've ever seen. Wow. Like, I think Sasquatch wants to stay hidden.
Uh-huh.
But and it's not the predator that landed on Earth that Arnold Schwarzenegger was trying to mow down with a minigun on his back, like with unlimited ammo. Like, okay. Not one person in that team was an ammo bearer. Like, imagine that, right? Anywho, TVSA will be having its spring 2026 gun show on April 18th and 19th of this year. Well, obviously. The show times will be from 10 to 5 on the 18th and from 11 to 4 on the 19th. The 19th being a Sunday, his reason why they probably have a little bit shorter hours and stuff like that. But admission will be $5 per adult, $4 for active military. They're looking for vendors, right? So I got a text from Amelia, not Earhart, but Dell. And she said, hey, we just wanted to let people know that we need more vendors over there, and that's awesome. So Amelia Dell is the POC, the point of contact. She's the gun show coordinator. Price of the table is only $75, and you can get all your wares out there, stick it on a table. People come in there. Every time I've gone in there, it's always been packed.
It has. It's really nice.
They've filled up tables all the way into the gun ranges and stuff like that. It's a pretty good little deal.
Yeah, they do a really nice job.
You can contact Amelia over at tvsa.us/gunshows. It's on, there's a tab at the top of their website, tvsa.us, that literally says gun shows, and you can click on that and reach out to them. So that'll be on April 18th and 19th. We'll make further announcements about that as we go. But, hey, tables go quick sometimes, so get in there if you want to have a table over there and sell something. Public shooting hours at that same location, the TVSA range. Remember, every Thursday from 6 to 8. Cost is $5 for members, $20 for non-members. It's great range, good people under new management over there. And then last but not least for right now, C4 Training Group has their Active Self-Protection Skills Summit coming up in Fairbanks on June 20th and 21st. I get it. That is summer solstice. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on in the city of Fairbanks, but that's cool. If you want to sharpen your defensive skills using active self-protection's evidence-based techniques, this is the opportunity. There'll be 2 days of professional instruction by Neil Widener and Chris Bean. They are actually very solid instructors out of the lower 48 that will be coming up here. They do a lot of stuff with John Correa off that active self-protection website and YouTube and stuff like that. Anyways, they're good guys. Worked with them a little bit when I did that active self-protection instructor development course down in South Dakota. So yeah, I can vouch for them. They're legit. Hey, if you have a loved one, like, I don't know, you want to celebrate Valentine's Day a week in late, this is the opportunity. Our Alaska Concealed Handgun class for C4 Training Group is the 21st and 22nd of February. Right, we hold it right over there at Alaska Ammo's classroom, and we do our state qualification right there in Alaska Ammo's gun range.
Let me tell you something. I was just in Fred Meyer's. I could not believe the cost of a bouquet of flowers, for $55 to $65. You might as well buy your loved one.
Does that have to do with our ACHP, or are you trying to segue into Valentine's Day?
No, you can buy
the
that
fake
for
commercial
your,
holiday.
It is. So let me finish, please. You can buy your loved one an ACHP class or a private lesson with us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because flowers are going to die. But
flowers
your card's good for 5 years.
It's a commercial holiday.
It is. It was
we
created.
Don't celebrate Valentine's Day. You and I don't.
No, we celebrate it year-round.
Yeah. You don't need to celebrate one special day to say I love you.
I love that. Good job. So I'll just do an introduction on the show because we got 2 minutes before we have to go on. So, Will, let's talk about you real quick. You have a company you're trying to form there called Darkland Tactical. Did I say that correctly?
Or Darkland Training Group. Darkland Tactical sounds cool too, though.
Make a tactical group.
Tactical group?
It'll still be TG.
I will take the advice from the older, wiser mentor. I like it. Tactical group does sound good.
Oh, wiser.
You know, that's why we did that with C4 Training Group, just to give you the background on it, is because then you're not like stuck in something. You're not grounded into one particular market. If you say group, then you can have other things within that same like
a collective of skill sets all working together.
Exactly, right. So if you were just to say, you know, handgun like training group or something like that, now are you just stuck in handguns? And then we're like, oh my god, you're doing this too, and now you're doing like use of force stuff.
Now we have a CPR class for a handgun company, and it just sounds weird.
Whereas if you say C4 Training Group, oh, here's all of the stuff that we do. So, I don't know, just a thought. Darkland Tactical sounds pretty good, but DLT, what does that spell? Run through Grok and see what other kind of crazy stuff people could come up with.
I like it. Sounds good.
It's kind of like now naming kids. You got to make sure you don't give them a name that they're going to like be able to rhyme in school. Then they'll be picked on the whole time. What are you doing, Cindy?
Try not to make noise.
Okay, let's talk about the word try. Try implies failure, and you're failing. Are you handing pens to everybody? Like we take the candy wrappers away from you for a reason. We take water bottles away from you for a reason. I have my own Glock pen here, which does not fire on its
own.
You're
giving him valuable information, well, valuable information, so I want him to write it down on his notes.
Yeah, well, we got to go into our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Will about Darkland Tactical, maybe training group, but nonetheless, and the classes that they have coming up this weekend on the 14th for your loved ones.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, a great Valentine's Day gift. So stay tuned. We'll come right back here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Cindy, Will, and Teresa running the board for us here in Fairbanks, Alaska, 97.5, 660 AM. We'll be right back after this short break.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts? We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service, too. Family-owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
Hey, North Pole Fairbanks. It's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. This Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska pipeline, which is constantly exposed to our extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. And as Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
KFAR weather.
Overcast today with highs around 4 above. Northwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Slight chance of snow. Lows level off around 13 below. A dusting of snow tonight with another 3 to 5 inches tomorrow night through Saturday night. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, Teresa, and Will, our special guest today here in the Fairbanks studios at KFAR. You're listening to us probably on 97.5 or 660 AM, or you could also be streaming us live off our app. There is a KFAR radio app that you can find at the Google Store or on the Apple Store, store. But yeah, super cool. So you can always have different options of listening to us even when you're out of country, which is what I do sometimes, but into the editorial. This is what everybody's been waiting for. Chuck's words of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen of Shooter's Corner, here's the contradiction that won't go away. Anti-gun advocates push hard to confiscate firearms from law-abiding citizens, yet they have zero issue with law enforcement and the government keeping all the guns and firepower they want. If guns are supposedly too dangerous for regular people, why is it fine for the state to maintain a complete monopoly on force? What kind of society leaves citizens defenseless while arming only the government? Let's take a look at Great Britain, the poster child for strict gun control. Private citizens face heavy restrictions. Handguns are essentially banned, and even long guns require tough police-issued licenses, mainly for sport or pest control. Most everyday police officers don't carry firearms, but the government still keeps specialized armed units because they know criminals will always get illegal guns. The state protects its own firepower while stripping it from the people. The same mindset is playing out right here in America, in Virginia. Literally, the fertile crescent of our democracy. The latest legislative push includes bans on so-called assault weapons and magazines holding more than 10 rounds. While some existing firearms receive limited grandfathering, magazine restrictions have no grandfather clause, forcing current owners to surrender or permanently modify them. That's confiscation by another name for law-abiding citizens, even as police and government agents keep full access. This hits home hardest in places like rural Alaska, where law enforcement can take hours or even days to respond due to distance, weather, and terrain. Out there, you are your own cavalry. Whether facing a criminal or a bear, you can't sit and wait for the government. Firearms are essential for survival when the state can't or won't protect you in time. When policies disarm citizens but exempt the government, they don't deliver safety, they deliver control. A free society trusts its people with the tools to defend themselves and their liberty. Let's stay vigilant and defend the Constitution that keeps us exceptional. Thank you for listening to Shooter's Corner. Stay armed. Stay informed. What do you think, Will? You're in the military.
I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. I've been out there in the woods just like many other lifelong Alaskans, solo, naked and afraid, out in the wilderness.
That's actually a good series.
Not really restricting yourself to a 10-round magazine, especially when that grizzly bear comes after round 11 or 12. Yeah. Right.
There's also something to be said about, like, I've always heard there's only two times when you actually complain about having too much ammunition. When you're drowning and when you're on fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
So other than that, like, yeah, I don't like that whole magazine restriction thing.
Mm-mm.
Because you never know how many rounds you're going to need to fire. I mean, Hollywood's kind of given this misconception that bad guy's going to go down with one round. And does that work sometimes? Yes. But there's also some people that are highly motivated, whether it's a jihadist or a crackhead, that might take 10 to 15 rounds. Or just because you're under extreme duress and you're not necessarily focusing on your front sight or your dot, you're not hitting the vital areas. And, you know, just, I don't know, sanguination, the bleeding out of that person isn't going to happen fast enough for you before they come over there and able to cut your throat with a freaking box cutter. So.
Or a bear eat your head.
Yeah, I don't want my head in the jaws of a bear.
No, I wouldn't either.
We talk about instinctive shooting versus intentional shooting too, right? Intentional coming more from a flat range mentality where people are in a low stress area, and that instinctual shooting coming when you're saying there's no front sight post focus and there's no definitive effort to actually place rounds where they need to be, especially in those stressful situations where people haven't trained. I think there's a lack of knowledge on the hit to miss ratio during a real world event. And so, as you were saying, having that 10-round magazine restriction, how many of those rounds are actually making an intentional and purposeful impact? Probably fewer than we think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think if you look statistically at, like, law enforcement, you know, officer-involved shootings, a lot of rounds miss. And I think that's kind of a bad thing, obviously, because where did that go? Did it go into a house on the other side of town? Did it go in through a kid's bedroom? Did it hit a school bus full of nuns, you know? I don't think they're held to the same level of accountability as the armed citizen is if their rounds miss and go through something else. Like, I think that's a huge divide when it comes from the government to the armed citizen sometimes. But let's talk about what you have going on this weekend.
Yes, sir. So in response to that school bus of nuns getting hit, what happens after that? Post-shooting incidents, right? There's trauma involved. I'm a firm believer that if you carry a firearm every day as a responsible and trained citizen, that you should have some form of medical capacity in your toolbox. Carrying a tourniquet, an IFAC, for our listeners out there, IFAC is an individual first aid kit. That's a first aid kit that's meant to deal with a single casualty or patient.
Right.
That's just enough components to take care of one person. And it might not even be your fault. You might come across that incident. It could be firearms related. It could be non-firearms related. How many people out there have been involved in a lethal force incident? Probably very few. But raise your hand if you've ever seen a car on the side of the road as you're traveling down the Steese Highway like our last caller was. Too many times have, as a former first responder myself, have I witnessed a very lack of bystander intervention in these critical incidents that could have made a difference in somebody's current recovery or their post-op recovery along the events following a traumatic incident for that person, which is what we're doing this weekend. We're trying to push that knowledge out there. It's a means of force multiplication. My friends and I that are teaching it have a wide base and a wide variety amongst all of us of medical knowledge, but we can't be everywhere all the time. Some people have shifts, some people have work elsewhere, and we want to push that information out into the community. On Valentine's Day, on the 14th, this Saturday at Sundog CrossFit on the corner of Van Horn and Lathrop from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're going to be hosting it through Alaska Krav Maga and Fitness, and it's a $50 cover fee for non-gym members, but for gym members and special guests like yourself, it is free. So come through. We're going to start with some classroom portions, go through an educational PowerPoint slide. Then we're going to break into skill stations where we have CPR dummies, wound packing dummies, tourniquet application, airway intervention. And then at the very end, we're going to run through some skill scenarios, go through a full patient assessment, and get that knowledge out there over the course of 5 hours. And two lucky winners at the very end will draw some names out of a hat. Two people are going to walk away with IFACs. So this is the fourth time we've taught this curriculum in Fairbanks. We've averaged about 20 people per course. If we can get that same 20, we'll have effectively put out 80 more people into the community armed with the knowledge that they need in these medical interventions, and at least 8 other people that have the equipment to go along with that new skill set as well. So slowly but surely trying to influence the community through an increased capability and push out the equipment to the people that might need it.
No, that's awesome. Let's go off of some of the comments you made there. So IFAC, when I was in the military, you had your first aid little pouch or something like that, or IFAC, and that was more for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't use your bandage on anybody, you know, like a field pressure dressing. Let's just say it. Like, let's go back old school, back to the 80s when I went in. You didn't use your own field pressure dressing on somebody else. Mm-hmm. You used theirs, right? Or like if you had like a medic in the team or something like that, they use their stuff. Like that field pressure dressing was for you. I think the mentality has somewhat changed then to where like, you know, am I going to use this IFAC against the person that I just used force to stop? If you talk to Masad Ayoub and some of the other great trainers that are out there, they'll tell you straight up, like, do not try to do that unless it is absolutely safe to do so. You know, but would I use it on my own family? Yeah. Would I use it on myself? Yeah. Would I use it on a friendly that, you know, may have got hit? Yeah. But I think, you know, because I have a lot of students that ask me that in the ACHP class as well, like, you know, the concealed handgun class. Like, if I shoot the person, should I give them medical aid? Only if it's safe to do so. If they're still an active threat to you, but you just stop the threat, meaning you don't have to kill somebody to stop the threat. You just have to incapacitate them to make them stop attacking you or make them change their ways, you know, their behavior that for that minute. But if it's not safe to do so, then don't. Just stay back in a safe position where you have time and options and get on 911, right? But out of that, I mean, I know most IFACs have different stuff. So you mentioned CPR. If they do this class, are they getting a CPR certification or anything? Is it a Red Cross trainer? Or are they going to get a card or...
No, so it's not an official AHA or American Heart Association sponsored course, so there will not be any kind of certification coming out. If you want to, I can put a pretty picture on a Word document and put your name on it. However, you will not be receiving a BLS certification or CPR certification from it, as we are not an AHA affiliate. However, the skills are out there, right? I've never seen somebody wake up from a heart attack and stop the person doing CPR and check their card for an expiration date.
Okay.
That's important. That's really important.
That's a valid point.
Very valid.
But you can see where we're going if we call it Dark Land Training Group, because you could get yourself CPR like instructor certified.
We can. And if any of the students afterward would like to come talk to me, I have a plethora of people in our group that can host you separately and you can work through them to get your certification. However, this course specifically.
Right.
There will be no cert, but future courses potentially.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great option. All right, so tell us more.
So going back to the IFAC, the components of that, the students will be covering how to use NPAs. That's a nasal pharyngeal airway, so a way to secure someone's ability to breathe independently from a BVM bag valve mask, right? Just essentially creating another flow or another pathway for them to breathe. We'll be going over tourniquet use. We'll be going over wound packing, anything kind of stop the bleed, start the breathe.
Gotcha.
That's kind of up our line of work.
Yeah. Well, we have to go into our mandatory break. When we come back, we're going to continue on this conversation about the Krav Maga training that's going to be happening over on Sundog and Krav Maga there at Lathrop and Van Horn. So we'll come back after this. We'll definitely have that conversation. I don't hear my like lead-in music yet, so. Oh, there we go.
You're too fast.
All right. Well, you know, the weatherman was using that S word earlier, so hopefully that doesn't transpire. But nonetheless, we'll be right back after this mandatory break, local and national news, and that crappy weather coming up. Stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner, KFAR Radio, 97.5, 60 AM. We'll be right back after this break.
Tanana Herb Company makes great times even better, sponsoring the KFAR live stream.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. Border Czar Tom Holman says there's been enough cooperation now from local law enforcement to end ICE operations in Minnesota. At a press conference in Minneapolis today.
I have proposed, and President Trump has concurred, that this surge operation conclude.
But Minnesota Governor Tim Walz says nothing has changed, says this is just an excuse.
My take was they knew they needed to get out of here, but in very Trumpian fashion, they needed to save face.
Holman has previously announced he was pulling 700 agents out of Minnesota last week. Anti-ICE protests intensified after the fatal shooting of two U.S. citizens in Minnesota by federal agents last month. A federal judge agreeing to block the Pentagon from punishing Democratic Senator Mark Kelly, a former Navy pilot, for participating in a video that called on U.S. troops to resist unlawful orders. U.S. District Judge Richard Leon said Pentagon officials violated Kelly's First Amendment rights. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports the federal government has set March 18th of 2026 as the date for a major oil and gas lease sale in Alaska's National Petroleum Reserve, marking the first such sale in the reserve in more than 6 years. According to the Bureau of Land Management, the sale will offer more than 600 tracts covering approximately 5.5 million acres within the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska. It will be the first lease sale in the reserve conducted under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which requires the agency to hold at least 5 lease sales in the area by 2035, each offering no fewer than 4 million acres. Acting BLM Director Bill Groffy said the upcoming sale reflects Congress's longstanding direction to make federal lands in the reserve available for energy development. The National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska plays a vital role in advancing America's energy independence, and Congress has repeatedly made clear their intent for timely leasing and responsible development in the region, Groffy said in a statement. BLM officials say about 1.6 million acres within the reserve are currently under lease.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Ice fishing is great winter fun if you're prepared. Now, before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need to limit out. Rods to tackle to ice tents and ice augers. And Frontier Outfitters has the right winter clothing to keep you toasty, warm, and dry. Not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's remote start season at Auto Trim Design. With our variety of CompuStar remote starts available, we are sure to have an option to fit everyone's needs. Enjoy many features like smartphone control with drone mobile, two-way rechargeable remotes, proximity unlock, additional security alarm, and so much more. With over 30 years of experience, Auto Trim Design takes pride in being CompuStar's only pro dealer in the interior. Contact us today to set up your appointment to have your remote start professionally installed. Stay warm with Auto Trim Design this winter.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
Hey North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck Indery into the Fairbanks, Alaska KFAR studios. You're listening to us live probably on 97.5, 660 AM. Remember, you can always listen to us live at KFARradio.com. You can also always listen to our archives The staff here has gotten pretty good at it, posting the shows right after they go on. And so just go to KFAR Radio, Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden, scroll down past my bio, and there's the archives. Just click on them, and you can listen to the show all over again. So if you missed any part of the first of a show, you can always listen to it in its entirety. But we're here with Will today. Oh, and not to mention, got Cindy with us as well, playing with something on her phone, trying to find a way to make noise.
Trying to behave. I'm listening.
Yeah, no, you're good. Will, when we left, we were talking about the tourniquet class or the medical.
Stop the bleed.
No, it's not stop the bleed technically because it's not that program. But I wanted to also bring up the fact that what it deviates from the national stop the bleed program to what maybe you guys are doing. So just to give you a little bit of a background on that, the national stop the bleed just essentially goes into tourniquets, what are the various tourniquets, and then also goes into wound packing and when wound packing is. So they basically like make sure you're safe first, make sure there's no hazards that are going to cause you death or serious physical injury, then maybe treat the patient applying one of those two techniques, or even if it requires direct pressure, right? I mean, at a minimum. And then like, let's segue into maybe what you guys got going on.
Sure. So Stop the Bleed program, recommended to everybody. Great source of information. Ours will differentiate a little bit. It'll be more in-depth. That's that trauma-med seminar. So trauma being the stop the bleed, anything that looks scary and is very obvious. And then med will be a little bit more of that Sherlock detective work, dissecting a scene and a patient and making your full patient assessment from head to toe, step one to step done. First off, scene safety, right? Your BSI, your body substance isolation, i.e. gloves or eye protection, whatever the scene might dictate that you need to put on. So starting with a patient assessment, head to toe, we're looking for DCAP, BTLS. That's your deformities, contusions, abrasions, punctures, burns, tenderness, lacerations, and swelling. I know it's a lot. It's just a word vomit right off the rip, but come on down to the seminar. We'll go more in depth. Ours is hosted at a paramedic level of training. I myself was a EMT advanced through the National Registry and the EMT 3A here in the state for several years, working on ambulances and fire trucks all around the borough. And then the other instructor that will be there is a current and active paramedic, has been for the last 12 years, I believe. And so that'll be the level of instruction that'll be provided. We're going to cover a little bit more than tourniquets and packing wounds. We'll go into airway interventions, the full patient primary and secondary assessment. And then again, making the decision is a big point in our course, making the decision of how's that song go? Should I stay or should I go now?
Right.
Should I stay here on scene and treat this patient, or is it unsafe? Should I move this patient? Should I move myself? What needs to happen first in order to keep everybody on the scene safe?
Good. Let's talk a little bit more about you. Like, I think it's important that people understand the credibility that an instructor has. Hence the reason why we post like some, you know, the courses or my background and those kind of things. Like people, it's kind of like a resume to the public that says, hey, look, I'm not just some Joe Snuffy guy who sat down and I'm going to read off of an NRA PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So
like, here's what I've been done, got the t-shirt, that kind of stuff. So
of course,
if you don't mind, you don't have to get into anything like too personal, but like what gives you this credibility to teach this class?
So something that sets our curriculum apart is all handwritten, right? It was handmade from practical experience and scenarios experienced by the instructors involved. So anything we teach in the course, we have done ourselves multiple times on real patients, real casualties in real scenarios. So I myself, my background, graduated high school immediately.
So it's evidence-based training.
Evidence-based training, absolutely.
Good.
No AI touched this curriculum. It's all us.
Meaning it's all something you had to personally do or some type of intervention you've actually had to do on a scene.
Yes, sir.
In freaking person.
Something we went
to school
for.
This isn't something that you just like, oh, let's just put that in there, right?
No, sir. Everything taught has been done by the instructors teaching it.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, go on.
Oh, sure. So myself, I started out here, University of Alaska Fairbanks. I was one of the students out there, and I was a live-in firefighter pretty much for the duration of that for a four-year program. And EMT 3A here in the state and the National Registry Advanced EMT on that scale. From there, joined the Army, went to the infantry side. Best job in the world. Second best is being a fireman. Changed my mind. Went down that
Brotherhood of the Blue Cord. So
outstanding. Went down that road for the last 6 years. Just ETS about 3 months ago, so it's still pretty fresh in the system. The medical side diverted a little bit in the infantry because that's not our main focus, but all of our guys still went CLS, that's a combat lifesaver course, and AFR, advanced first responder. And it was pushed pretty hard, although that wasn't our primary role in the infantry world. But we stayed on top of it, and we were unfortunately/fortunately able to experience real casualties in that realm as well. So the medical knowledge never left, and the applicability never really left.
Right.
So I stayed with it for about the last 10 years now. The other instructor that's going to be there has been a paramedic for 12 years now at one of the local fire departments out in North Pole, actually. Mm. And so he's been in the business for quite a bit of time. Between the two of us, we have about 22, 23 years of experience bringing to the table. All of our curriculum is vetted through an unnamed medical doctor over here at FMH. He's looking through it and just making sure everything looks good. I think mainly his job is to make sure commas are where they need to be.
Right.
But like I said, this is the fourth time teaching the course. Put about 60 people through it already. Hoping for another 20 for a total of 80. And moving on from there.
I think people need to understand, one of the things that you had mentioned was the combat lifesaver and the advanced first responder classes. There are courses that they have in the military. Like, I did the CLS in the military back when, I think about the only thing we did was like IVs and stop bleeding, right? Because if I can keep fluids in you, keep the hydraulics working, you know, that's better than nothing. And then also keep hydraulic fluid from leaking out of your holes, right? I see that as a force multiplier. And I think people need to understand that as an armed citizen or just a responsible citizen, period, even if you're not armed, having this level of skill makes you a force multiplier. And you alluded to earlier that it's not just for, like, you know, reacting to a gunfight or something like that that you may have been involved in, but what about just regular household stuff? Like, you did say, like, going down the highway, you come across a vehicle crash and somebody has a severed arm, you know, and they're bleeding out, and you know how to put on a tourniquet. You know, I tell people all the time, like, if you at least understand where the garden hose is in the arm, mm-hmm. you can pinch it off.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
You can, like, turn the faucet just, off, or you can pack the faucet.
Pack the faucet, turn it off, pinch the hose, whatever you got to do. Like, you can just even do direct pressure if that's all you got, just because you understand, have a better idea of how you can shut off that bleeding. I mean, I remember having a guy, like, laying on his back, and when you have all your kit on, you're like an extra 100 freaking pounds. And you can just take your knee and drop it right into their groin on a femoral artery, and you'd be surprised how well that'll shut off. I mean, they don't like you. Like, nobody's going to like that. Yeah, but you can stop that bleeding, at least until somebody can get a tourniquet on.
So you'll be surprised by how well it works. You'll also be surprised by the names he's calling you while you're doing it to him.
Yeah. And then you'll just, like, have a beer later on, maybe launch duel or something.
It's all friendly.
It's all friendly after that. But, no, I think that's super cool. So got the credentialing to do this, obviously. And this is going to be like a head-to-toe kind of class.
Yes,
like,
sir.
I'm not a huge fan of the whole nasal, like, stick the rubber tube down your nose thing. I got to tell you.
Really?
Probably less invasive than, like, I don't know, cutting a hole in your throat and sticking a big pin in there. But
I mean, it definitely comes before going straight to cricothyrotomy, right?
There's a scientific word for it.
It's the word of the day. Throw that one on the Scrabble table.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely less intrusive for sure. But, okay. Do you have to lube that thing up, or you just spit on it before you stick it down their nose?
Depends on how you feel that day.
Yeah.
It does come with a lube packet, though, generally. That is part of the check process when you're packing your IFAC. Make sure you have something that'll give you a little less friction in the application.
Yeah.
The person's going to like you, too, a little bit, you know, not just jamming it down their nasal.
Yeah. You could probably lube it up with their own blood, though.
Potentially.
I'm just thinking, like, from a battlefield perspective. Like, that's all. Not the game, but real life. Like, what do I have with me at the time? Like, we got to get this thing in. Like, they're gagging on something.
I gotcha. That'll be part of the curriculum, though, and we have an airway dummy that we have reserved for the course that they'll be able to drop it in on a fake patient first, and then if we have a brave volunteer, we'll throw it in there, too. Exactly. Chuck's pointing at Cindy right now.
No. I'll point at you, Chuck.
Can we like knock somebody out first and then do it? Like, no, I'm just kidding.
Can I knock you out first and then do you?
I mean, whatever happens on the bathroom break is what happens.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so tourniquets, right? I know we got to get ready to go into our last break and stuff like that, but there are some tourniquets that are out there that are not what we call TCCC approved. And for the listeners, that's Tactical Combat Casualty Care. It's a committee that kind of like meets or used to. I don't think we kind of have a discussion off air that I don't think they've approved any tourniquets in the last 9 years, if not more.
The CAT Gen 7 was the last approved one by their Board of Medical Directors.
Right. And then they have like the Softy, the Special Forces tourniquet and stuff like that, which is just a beefed up, like the tension bar. Man, why am I having a friggin' brain freeze?
Think if Milwaukee created a tourniquet, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's aluminum. Mm-hmm. And then the parts on it, I mean, they don't use Velcro on it either, because Velcro, as we know, if it gets blood on it, you know, and then you have sand around, like, it just doesn't stick to itself. And also, by the way, if you're buddy dragging your dude across the ground or something like that, you know, Velcro snags easy or whatever, and can be ripped. The tourniquet can be ripped off versus a soft tee. Kind of just stays in place because of the ratchet system that it has. But yeah, there's all kinds of things we can talk about too. Well, you did mention the rapid application tourniquet, which was designed by a special forces medic who was trying to sell it to the TCCC. And you're right, it worked on little Afghani kids, but not so good. Even regardless of what their stuff was online. But anyways, we got to get into our last break. When we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation about the TAC Med course over at the Krav Maga here at Sun... Why do I want to say Sundance?
Sundog CrossFit.
Yeah, Sundog CrossFit here in Fairbanks, Alaska, coming up this weekend. We'll be right back with Will, Cindy, and Teresa running our board for us.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
Auto Trim Designs Tint and Paint Protection Film Department is now open. The professional installers are ready to keep your vehicles looking sharp and protected all year long. Auto Trim Designs self-healing PPF shields your paint from scratches and wear, helping your car stay flawless for years. And with their window films, it adds a stylish deep black color to your vehicle windows. It also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by today.
Hey North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV North Pole.
KFAR weather.
Overcast today with highs around 4 above. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Slight chance for snow, 13 below. Slight chance for snow tomorrow. High of 0, a mix of clouds and sun. A dusting of snow tonight with another 3 to 5 inches tomorrow night through Saturday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're with Chuck, Cindy, and our special guest, Will, here in the KFAR studios in Fairbanks. And you're probably listening to us at 97.5, 660 AM. And when we left, we were talking about the different types of tourniquets. And I had mentioned the RAT, the Rapid Application Tourniquet, which you can find online, actually, on Amazon. That reminds me, though. One other thing I was going to say. Do not buy tourniquets off Amazon unless they are approved. And I tell a lot of people, go to,
Fire Safety.
No, yeah. A lot of times you can go to ARC, Fire and Safety, and you get the approved tourniquets, mm-hmm. one. Or what was the other one?
North American Rescue.
North American Rescue. There we go. Yeah. Just had a brain. I can't say brain freeze. I guess it's starting to thaw. Well, it was thawing out in Costa Rica. Now it's fogged back up again.
But. Yeah, any company where you can track that production chain back to the original source.
Or has an NSN and stuff like that. Because there are a lot of like spoof Chinese companies that are making Cat 7s that you don't want to put your life on the line with.
I was just about to say, check the back of your tourniquet for any kind of Chinese symbols first.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe play around with the windlass, see if it just breaks, just messing with it.
Yeah. And, you know, that kind of goes to another thing, too. Like, the minute you use a tourniquet, even in training, it is forever a training tourniquet now.
It's no longer a life safety product. It's
right.
A training product.
Yeah, because you've weakened the windlass, or at least the nylon band that goes through the windlass and stuff like that.
Degraded the tensile strength of the band.
Degraded the tensile strength of it, yeah. So, back to that. Different types of tourniquets. So.
Tried and true. The CAT. North American Rescue sells them all over, the CAT, the Combat Application Tourniquet. There's the Gen 3, which a lot of people still carry, and then there's the Gen 7. The Gen 7 just has a single slot to slide the strap through. It's easier, it's less to think about, and it has just a beefier windlass. It's essentially just the tanked-up version of the Gen 3.
Made for Marines.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know
That'd
what? That's
simple.
A nice Valentine's gift for your loved one.
I agree.
And a box of
does,
chocolate.
And it does have red on it.
It does.
It does, and it's cheaper than a dozen of roses that are going to die in 2 days because they were shipped up here.
I think, I don't know if you guys sell them over there or whatever, but I know at Arctic Fire and Safety, I think they sell them for,
like,
and I think they sell them
bucks,
Alaska Ammo. I haven't seen
Alaska
them in any other place.
Alaska Ammo sells them.
Maybe 35, 37 bucks or something like that. Yeah. Cheap insurance, you know, to save your life. You know, you can keep them around the house. I wouldn't say you necessarily just mowing the lawn need to carry it with you all the time, but if you're carrying a firearm, you probably should be carrying one in your pocket or something like that.
You brought me home a pocket knife. I can't find that pocket knife. It was a pretty pink pocket knife, too.
It was a Benchmade, girl.
It was. That was
all
a
right,
nice
Valentine's
gift.
Back to the tourniquet thing,
yes.
Cindy. For the love of God, you and your pink knife. Anyways, yes, tourniquets do have red on them. That way you know which direction to go with it for the most part. But anyways, what was some of the other ones?
So we're going to be bringing all these tourniquets out to the course, right? The CAT, like we already mentioned, the SWAT T, which I think you mentioned off air, that's the stretch, wrap, and tuck tourniquet.
Right.
Think about an exercise band.
Yep.
It's kind of like a pressure dressing, but it's rubber. It's more of a pressure dressing that's just made out of rubber than it is a tourniquet. It's difficult for self-application. It's slippery.
Right. Especially when you have blood, like the consistency or viscosity of motor oil on the scene already. It's not going to have anything to grip on.
You have that pressurized arterial bleeding just shooting up in your face.
Now, for the record, though, they have worked. I mean, APD, I think it was, Anchorage PD, had a couple officers that were shot, and another officer was able to apply it on there. And I think they do issue those to their officers down there. You know, somebody can call and correct, but for the most part, those are difficult to self-apply.
For sure.
Versus the CAT, you can automatically have it preset to at least the diameter of your largest appendage.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what I tell people, like, have it at least the diameter of your own thigh. So, anywho, back on SWAT T.
Exactly like you
whatever.
Said. You got to think about single-hand application as well. Moving on from there, the RATS, as you already mentioned, good for your pediatric population, right, your smaller appendages. Good for canines as well because they have not the biggest legs, right?
Yeah.
It is slippery, I will say. My one of my old coworkers at the fire department and I got our hands on one, and we attached our finger to a Zoll X just to measure pulse oximetry, essentially seeing what kind of oxygenation we got in our distal appendage. And it took longer when we were just experimenting with it. It's not a scientific study. This is two dudes in the back of an ambulance testing out products. And it was more difficult, especially when your hand was slippery or sweaty or bloody, just to apply it. So tried and true CAT Generation 7. That's what I recommend to everybody. I got one in my pocket right now. I have a large CLS bag in my car that travels with me every day. Just sits right underneath the passenger seat there. That's for motor vehicle collisions, motor vehicle accidents, something more common that you find yourself in. It's got four CAT tourniquets in there, whole plethora of things. And then I just have my little individual first aid kit in my gym bag that sits with me during workouts. So I like to think of myself as a prepared citizen now, right? Coming over into the civilian world, just keeping those skills sharp and trying to pass them along to other people. Like I said, at the end of the course, two lucky winners are going to walk away with their own Gen 7 CAT tourniquets and an IFAC from North American Rescue with an NSN, tried and true.
That is cool. What is like a tourniquet, well, besides the RAT and stuff like that, I think I've seen some other ones that were out there as well that are really narrow, which the RAT, excuse me, which the RAT is as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something to be said about, and maybe you could dispel this myth about how people are like, oh, I can just take my bell or I can tie a rope around it or whatever. there is a thing where you can actually kill, have caused like neuromuscular damage if the tourniquet is not wide to the standard. And that's why TCCC is approved like the cat, but they didn't approve the rat.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about animals here, because of the width. So for instance, if you go in for like a surgery, it's like a really wide band, because it doesn't kill the muscle tissue. It's just basically compressing it, but not killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like if somebody was like, oh, I'll just take my belt or tie a rope around them or whatever. I mean, I guess that would work in an emergency, but just understand that you're going to cause some type of neuromuscular damage, right?
Neuropathy.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Necrophilia in the muscle arm or whatever. I don't know.
I got my big word out of the way. I think that's the last one I got.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
I know what you're talking about.
It's neuropathy. Like,
yeah, okay, good. Anyways, Will, that's why we're going to the class. Will's going to research it now and be like, hey, that word.
Necro,
whatever.
We'll throw it on the PowerPoint.
Yeah.
But you're looking for that wide circumferential pressure, right? It's not a pinpoint pressure because that vessel, that artery, and those veins, those capillaries are running deep underneath them, the tissue, right?
Right.
And so you're trying to compress everything around it. Yeah. And the wider surface area you have in those tourniquets, the more compression you can achieve around, right? And when there is, worst case scenario, a full severing, right, a full amputation, that artery has a tendency to retract up. It's a rubber hose. It pulls back, right? It's under tension and it pulls back. And so that's why we teach high and tight. Bring that tourniquet up as high as you can. Then maybe some investigation can be done to see where the bleed's actually coming from. But that initial hasty tourniquet is just high and tight, right? Just
high and tight.
It's like the old haircuts.
Yeah, and I'll tell people too, and I'm sure you're going to mention this on your PowerPoint, but make sure they don't have car keys in their front pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure the twigs and berries for males are out of the way before you put that tourniquet high and tight. Learn that in the Army.
Check for dip cans.
Anything that's going to prevent it from getting the compression that it needs, right? There was something else I wanted to say, but for some reason, I don't know. It's been a long day.
No, it's a good point. Clear the pockets if you can. If you can't, slap it on as fast as you can.
Oh,
your buddy's already having a bad day. You don't want to crush his pack of Marlboros in there as well.
Just right.
Make it worse for him.
But you know, there's something else. I remember what it was now. Once a tourniquet is on, you do not take it off until they get to the medical.
What's your
thought on that?
You as an individual citizen, if you've committed to putting it on, commit to putting it on.
Right.
Leave it where it's at. The transport times here in Fairbanks are not that bad to where we're looking at an actual tourniquet conversion. Now we can talk about woofer, right? Wildland first responder, where you're actually looking for a tourniquet conversion, but that's a later topic.
I
could talk on hours for it.
Yeah, because if you start taking that off, because I remember at one time there was like back in the old Boy Scout days, they were saying like every 30 minutes, loosen it up, let some blood flow through. I don't think at that time they kind of realized like, oh, you might be releasing blood clots that can now get into the brain, get into the heart, disrupt like circulation, whatever, and cause a stroke. Versus waiting till they get to a medical facility like FMH, and then they can put some meds on board to help prevent that clotting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the purpose behind that.
Yes, sir.
TCCC also mentioned one time, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you have better information now because you just got out of the military, but I think they were saying like you can have a tourniquet on for up to like 3.5 hours. There was a documented case where a Black Hawk pilot had on one for up to 8 hours or something like that, and it didn't cause any neuromuscular damage. What have you heard about that, or do you know anything about that? 3.5 hours seems to be like some type of standard.
Pretty similar. I've heard the same things. I've never had a patient or a casualty where it was on longer and we had transport times beyond that, right?
Right.
Military side, you have aircraft, get them in, get them out really quick. Right. And that's a paramedic level provider on board those aircraft generally. Again, applicability to the city of Fairbanks, city of North Pole. You're generally not looking at that 3.5 hour transport time. Furthest you're going to get is maybe a patient handoff from Nenana or Salcha, where it could be up to an hour. But
if you're a moose camp on the Brooks Range or something like that, or, you know, the White Mountains, and bad things happen.
You're out there far.
Sometimes I got to tell people it might be better to lose an arm or a leg than lose your life.
Life over limb.
Yeah.
Come talk to me at the course. We'll talk all about it.
Absolutely. So that course will be, once again, this Saturday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 10 to 3.
And Chuck and I will be there.
Yep, we'll be there as well. So get on there. You can jump on the Krav Maga, whatever is the website, some contact information.
Alaska Krav Maga.
You can get on there and sign up for the class. So thank you for listening to us today here at Shooter's Corner, KFAR 97.5, 660 AM. We will be back next Thursday.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening to Shooter's Corner.
Your voice, your station.